The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on Google Drive. The Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 2, The First Stages of Devotion. The three categories of devotional service which Srila Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are listed as devotional service in practice, devotional service in ecstasy, and devotional service in pure love of Godhead. There are many subheadings in each of these categories. Generally, it is understood that in the category of devotional service in practice, there are two different qualities. Devotional service in ecstasy has four qualities, and devotional service in pure love of Godhead has six qualities. These qualities will be explained by Srila Rupa Goswami later on. In this connection, Srila Rupa Goswami suggests that the person eligible for Krishna consciousness or devotional service can be classified by his particular taste. He says that devotional service is a continual process from one's previous life. No one can take to devotional service unless he has had some previous connection with it. For example, suppose in this life I practice devotional service to some extent. Even though it is not 100% perfectly performed, whatever I have done will not be lost. In my next life, from the very point where I stop in this life, I shall begin again. In this way, there is always a continuity. But even if there is no continuity, if only by chance a person takes interest in a pure devotee's instructions, he can be accepted and can advance in devotional service. Anyway, for persons who have a natural taste for understanding books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is easier than for those who are simply accustomed to mental speculation and argumentative processes. To support this statement, there are many authoritative assertions by the learned scholars of bygone ages. According to their general opinion, a person may become governed by certain convictions derived by his own arguments and decisions. Then another person, who may be a greater logician, will nullify these conclusions and establish another thesis. In this way, the path of argument will never be safe or conclusive. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore recommends that one follow in the footsteps of the authorities. Here is a general description of devotional service given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Previously, it has been stated that devotional service can be divided into three categories, namely devotional service in practice, devotional service in ecstasy, and devotional service in pure love of God. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami proposes to describe devotional service in practice. Practice means employing our senses in some particular type of work. Therefore, devotional service in practice means utilizing our different sensory organs in service to Krishna. Some of the senses are meant for acquiring knowledge, and some are meant for executing the conclusions of our thinking, feeling, and willing. So practice means employing both the mind and the senses in practical devotional service. This practice is not for developing something artificial. For example, a child learns or practices to walk. This walking is not unnatural. The walking capacity is originally there in the child, and simply by a little practice, he walks very nicely. Similarly, devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the natural instinct of every living entity. Even uncivilized men, like the Aborigines, offer their respectful obeisances to something wonderful exhibited by nature's law, and they appreciate that behind some wonderful exhibition or action, there is something supreme. So this consciousness, although lying dormant in those who are materially contaminated, is found in every living entity, and when purified, this is called Krishna consciousness. There are certain prescribed methods for employing our senses and mind in such a way that our dormant consciousness for loving Krishna will be invoked, as much as the child with a little practice can begin to walk. One who has no basic walking capacity cannot walk by practice. Similarly, Krishna consciousness cannot be aroused simply by practice. Actually, there is no such practice. When we wish to develop our innate capacity for devotional service, there are certain processes which, by our accepting and executing them, will cause that dormant capacity to be invoked. Such practice is called sadhana bhakti. Every living entity under the spell of the material energy is held to be in an abnormal condition of madness. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, quote, generally, the conditioned soul is mad because he's always engaged in activities that are causes of bondage and suffering, end quote. The spirit soul in his original condition is joyful, blissful, eternal, and full of knowledge. Only by his implication in material activities has he become miserable, temporary, and full of ignorance. This is due to vikarma. Vikarma means, quote, actions which should not be done, end quote. Therefore, we must practice sadhana bhakti, which means to offer mangal arti, deity worship in the morning, to refrain from certain material activities, to offer obeisances to the spiritual master, and to follow many other rules and regulations that will be discussed here one after another. These practices will help one become cured of madness. As a man's mental disease is cured by the directions of a psychiatrist, so this sadhana bhakti cures the conditioned soul of his madness under the spell of maya, material illusion. Narada Muni mentions his sadhana bhakti in Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto, 1st chapter, verse 32. He says there to King Yudhisthira, quote, my dear king, one has to fix his mind on Krishna by any means, end quote. That is called Krishna consciousness. It is the duty of the acharya, the spiritual master, to find the ways and means for his disciple to fix his mind on Krishna. That is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us an authorized program for this purpose, centered around the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This chanting has so much power that it immediately attaches one to Krishna. That is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. Somehow or other, one has to fix his mind on Krishna. The great saint Maharaj Ambarish, although a responsible king, fixed his mind on Krishna, and similarly, anyone who tries to fix his mind in this way will very rapidly make progress in successfully reviving his original Krishna consciousness. Now, this sadhana bhakti, or practice of devotional service, may also be divided into two parts. The first part is called service according to regulative principles. One has to follow these different regulative principles by the order of the spiritual master or on the strength of authoritative scriptures, and there can be no question of refusal. That is called vaidhi, or regulated. One has to do it without argument. Another part of sadhana bhakti is called raganuga. Raganuga refers to the point at which, by following the regulative principles, one becomes a little more attached to Krishna and executes devotional service out of natural love. For example, a person engaged in devotional service may be ordered to rise early in the morning and offer arti, which is a form of deity worship. In the beginning, by the order of his spiritual master, one rises early in the morning and offers arti, but then he develops real attachment. When he gets this attachment, he automatically tries to decorate the deity and prepare different kinds of dresses and thinks of different plans to execute his devotional service nicely. Although it is within the category of practice, this offering of loving service is spontaneous. So the practice of devotional service, sadhana bhakti, can be divided into two parts, namely regulative and spontaneous. Rupa Goswami defines the first part of devotional practice, or vaidhi bhakti, as follows, quote, when there is no attachment or no spontaneous loving service to the Lord, one is engaged in the service of the Lord simply out of obedience to the order of the spiritual master or in pursuance of the scriptures, such obligatory service is called vaidhi bhakti, end quote. These principles of vaidhi bhakti are also described in Srimad Bhagavatam 7 canto, 1st chapter, verse 5, where Shukadeva Goswami instructs the dying Maharaj Parikshit as to his course of action. Maharaj Parikshit met Shukadeva Goswami just a week before his death, and the king was perplexed as to what should be done before he was to pass on. Many other sages also arrived there, but no one could give him the proper direction. Shukadeva Goswami, however, gave this direction to him as follows, quote, my dear king, if you want to be fearless in meeting your death next week, for actually everyone is afraid at the point of death, then you must immediately begin the process of hearing and chanting and remembering God. End quote. If one can chant and hear Hare Krishna and always remember Lord Krishna, then he is sure to become fearless of death, which may come at any moment. In the statements of Shukadev Goswami, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. Therefore, Shukadev recommends that one should always hear about Krishna. He does not recommend that one hear and chant about the demigods. The Mayavadis, impersonalists, say that one may chant any name, either that of Krishna or those of the demigods, and the result will be the same. But actually, this is not a fact. According to the authorized version of Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to hear and chant about Lord Vishnu, Krishna, only. So Shukadev Goswami has recommended Prikshit Maharaj that in order to be fearless of death, one has to hear and chant and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, by all means. He also mentions that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sarvatma. Sarvatma means, quote, the super soul of everyone, end quote. Krishna is also mentioned as Ishvara, the supreme controller who is situated in everyone's heart. Therefore, if some way or other we become attached to Krishna, he will make us free from all danger. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that anyone who becomes a devotee of the Lord is never vanquished. Others, however, are always vanquished. Quote, vanquished, end quote, means that after getting this human form of life, a person does not come out of the entanglement of birth and death, and thus misses his golden opportunity. Such a person does not know where he is being thrown by the laws of nature. Suppose one does not develop Krishna consciousness in this human form of life. He will be thrown into the cycle of birth and death, involving 8,400,000 species of life, and his spiritual identity will remain lost. If one does not know whether he's going to be a plant or beast or bird or something like that, because there are so many species of life. The recommendation of Rupa Goswami for reviving our original Krishna consciousness is that somehow or other we should apply our minds to Krishna very seriously and thus also become fearless of death. After death, we do not know our destination because we are completely under the control of the laws of nature. Only Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is controller over the laws of nature. Therefore, if we take shelter of Krishna seriously, there will be no fear of being thrown back into the cycle of so many species of life. A sincere devotee will surely be transferred to the abode of Krishna, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. In the Padma Purana also, the same process is advised. There it is said that one should always remember Lord Vishnu. This is called dhyana or meditation, always remembering Krishna. It is said that one has to meditate with his mind fixed upon Vishnu. Padma Purana recommends that one always fix his mind on the form of Vishnu by meditation and not forget him at any moment. And this state of consciousness is called samadhi or trance. We should always try to mold the activities of our lives in such a way that we will constantly remember Vishnu or Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Whether one concentrates his mind on the four-handed form of Vishnu or on the form of two-handed Krishna, it is the same. The Padma Purana recommends somehow or other always think of Vishnu without forgetting him under any circumstances. Actually, this is the most basic of all regulative principles. For when there is an order from a superior about doing something, there is simultaneously a prohibition. When the order is that one should always remember Krishna, the prohibition is that one should never forget him. This is the simple order. Within this simple order and prohibition, all regulative principles are found complete. This regulative principle is applicable to all varnas and ashrams, the castes and occupations of life. There are four varnas, namely the brahmanas, priests and intellectuals, the kshatriyas, warriors and statesmen, the vaishyas, businessmen and farmers, and the shudras, laborers and servants. There are also four standard ashrams, namely the brahmacharya, student life, grihastha, householder, vanaprastha, retired, and sannyas, renounced. The regulative principles are not only for the brahmacharis, celibate students, to follow, but are applicable for all. It doesn't matter whether one is a beginner, a brahmachari, or is very advanced, a sannyasi. The principle of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly and not forgetting him at any moment is meant to be followed by everyone without fail. If this injunction is followed, then all other rules and regulations will automatically fall into line. All other rules and regulations should be treated as assistants or servants to this one basic principle. The injunctions or rules and regulations and their resultant reactions are mentioned in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, verses 2 and 3. Chamasa Muni, one of the nine sages who came to instruct King Nimis, addressed the king and said, quote, "The four social orders, namely the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Shudras, have come out of the different parts of the universal form of the Lord as follows. The Brahmanas have come out from the head, the Kshatriyas have come out from the arms, the Vaishyas have come out from the waist, and the Shudras have come out from the legs. Similarly, the Sannyasis have come out from the head, the Vanaprasthas from the arms, the Grahasthas from the waist, and the Brahmacharis from the legs." End quote. These different orders of society and grades of spiritual advancement are conceived in terms of qualification. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that the four social orders and the four spiritual orders are created by the Lord Himself in terms of different individual qualities. As the different parts of the body have different types of activities, so the social orders and spiritual orders also have different types of activities in terms of qualification and position. The target of these activities, however, is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, quote, "He is the supreme enjoyer," end quote. So whether one is a Brahmana or a Shudra, one has to satisfy the Supreme Lord by one's activities. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by a verse that reads, quote, "Everyone must be engaged in his particular duty, but the perfection of such work should be tested by how far the Lord is satisfied with such activities," end quote. The injunction herein is that one has to act according to his position, and that And by such activities, one must either satisfy the Supreme Personality or else fall down from one's position. For example, a Brahmana who is born out of the head of the Lord has as his business to preach the transcendental Vedic sounds, or Shabda Brahma. Because the Brahmana is the head, he has to preach the transcendental sound, and he also has to eat on behalf of the Supreme Lord. According to Vedic injunctions, when a Brahmana eats, it is to be understood that the Personality of Godhead is eating through him. It is not, however, that the Brahmana should simply eat on behalf of the Lord and not preach the message of Bhagavad Gita to the world. Actually, one who preaches the message of the Gita is very dear to Krishna, as is confirmed in the Gita itself. Such a preacher is factually a Brahmana, and thus by feeding him, one feeds the Supreme Lord directly. Similarly, the Kshatriya has to protect people from the onslaughts of Maya. That is his duty. For example, as soon as Maharaj Parikshit saw that a black man was attempting to kill a cow, he immediately took his sword, wanting to kill the black man, whose name was Kali. That is a Kshatriya's duty. Violence is required in order to give protection. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna directly gave his order to Arjuna to commit violence on the battlefield of Kurukshetra just to give protection to the people in general. The Vaishyas are meant for producing agricultural products, trading them, and distributing them. And the working class, or Shudras, are those who haven't the intelligence of the Brahmanas or the Kshatriyas or the Vaishyas, and therefore they are meant to help these higher classes by bodily labor. In this way, there is full cooperation and spiritual advancement among all the different orders of society. And when there is no such cooperation, the members of society will fall down. That is the present position of the Kali Yuga, this age of quarrel. Nobody is doing his duty, and everyone is simply puffed up by calling himself a Brahmana, intellectual, or a Kshatriya, soldier, or statesman. But actually, such people are without status. They are out of touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are not Krishna conscious. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is intended to set the whole of human society in proper condition so that everyone will be happy and take profit from developing Krishna consciousness. Lord Sri Krishna instructed Uddhava that by following the injunctions of the social and spiritual orders of human society, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as a result of such satisfaction, the whole society gets all the necessities of life amply and without difficulty. This is because, after all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead maintains all other living entities. If the whole society performs its respective duties and remains in Krishna consciousness, there is no doubt that all its members will live very peacefully and happily. Without wanting the necessities of life, the whole world will be turned into Vaikuntha, a spiritual abode. And without being transferred to the kingdom of God by following the injunctions of Srimad Bhagavatam and prosecuting the duties of Krishna consciousness, all human society will be happy in all respects. There is a similar statement by Sri Krishna himself to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 27th chapter, verse 49. The Lord says there, quote, "My dear Uddhava, all persons are engaged in activities, whether those indicated in the revealed scriptures or ordinary worldly activities. If by the result of either of such activities they worship me in Krishna consciousness, then automatically they become very happy within this world as well as in the next. Of this there is no doubt," end quote. We can conclude from this statement by Krishna that activities in Krishna consciousness will give everyone all perfection and all desires. Thus, the Krishna consciousness movement is so nice that there is no need of even designating oneself Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. Let everyone be engaged in whatever occupation he now has. Let him simply worship Lord Krishna by the result of his activities in Krishna consciousness. That will adjust the whole situation, and everyone will be happy and peaceful within this world. In the Narada Pancharatra, the regulative principles of devotional service are described as follows. Quote, "Any activities sanctioned in the revealed scriptures and aiming at the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are accepted by saintly teachers as the regulative principles of devotional service. If one regularly executes such service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, then gradually he rises to the platform of serving in pure love of God." End quote.